to the third case of the day, In Re Kovacs. Mr. Fraser.
Good morning. May it please the Court, Douglas Fraser for Appellate Nancy Kovacs. This is a federal tax case. The taxpayer, Nancy Kovacs, filed for bankruptcy. The Internal Revenue Service violated the discharge injunction. Kovacs filed a claim for damages under 26 U.S.C. Section 7433. This is our second visit to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. And after our first visit, this court determined that, in fact, IRS had violated the discharge injunction, and Kovacs' claims for some but not all of the violations were timely filed.
In particular, we specified those September 2003 letters. And so I just wanted to say that it seems to me whatever is going on under Internal Revenue Code 7430, not 7433. And it looks to me like the bankruptcy court and the district court both very carefully tried to see what attorney's fees were attributable to this tail end of this very unfortunately long, messy piece of litigation in which, believe me, I'm all sympathy for your client's frustrations dealing with the IRS making all of these mistakes. But we're here out at the end, and we said the earlier events were outside the statute of limitations. So I don't see why these weren't factual findings about the attorney's fees attributable to those September 2003 letters, to which we ought to more or less defer.
That the finding of the bankruptcy court was that the attorney's fees and costs attributable to those September 2003 letters resulted in $3,750 worth of actual damages.
Right. And so what the bankruptcy court, I'm telling you things that you know, the rationale was that all of the earlier legal work that had been done and the rest of it was outside the limitations period. Counsel, this is all after Mulcahy acknowledges that the Internal Revenue Service has made a mistake and that there was a valid discharge of the 1990-1995 tax years, and that there's evidence in the record to say that counsel wasn't that worried about it, you know, just one little thing to tie up. The bankruptcy court says, well, I can only find, you know, a couple of hours of work, but I'll recognize that there's some overlap. Let's say it's 25, use the $150. And it's not that that's the total of the work that was ever spent in the case, but so much of it is out of bounds because of the statute of limitations that as
you're correct, Your Honor. That is the amount of work specifically attributable
right.
to those letters.
So our why isn't that the end of it?
Because, and here's why, because that was a determination of actual damages under 7433 that had nothing to do with litigation attorney's fees and costs under 7430.
But there's a legal question there. The Internal Revenue Service argues that attorney's fees and costs are not economic damages for purposes of 7433.
Yes, the government does argue that. But
when they're specifically addressed in 7430, doesn't that say something to us?
No, it doesn't, because 7430 explicitly addresses litigation attorney's fees and costs in connection with the litigation. It does not address the question of actual damages under 7433. They're separate questions.
I don't see why your attorney's fees aren't litigation fees. I mean, you've been litigating.
No, there was no litigation pending, and that is exactly the point. Whether the litigation started with the filing of the administrative claim, which was January of 2005, or the adversary proceeding, which was August of 2005, the attorney's fees connected to or arising from the mop-up operation of the offending letters that violated the discharge injunction came, the last billing item for that mop-up was a full 9.5 months before the administrative claim was filed. One has nothing to do with the other. There was no litigation pending. There was no litigation or administrative attorney's fees and costs associated with the actual damages arising from those violations. The record is clear. The bankruptcy court examined the billing records of Fraser and Shapiro, and those billing records were explicitly for the period of time dealing with the September 2003 letters.
But those, they are attorney's fees in association with the both the administrative and the litigation efforts to get this sorted out. And I don't see why they're economic damages in the sense that the statute requires that for the 7433.
Yes, the statute requires actual direct economic damages. And with, as we have discussed
right, so
in
I've
our brief...
I lost my business because of your actions or, you know, things that happen to you in the real world.
The weight of authority is that attorney's fees can be an element of actual direct economic damages, and that's our point. And that is a different question than an award of litigation attorney's fees and costs under 7430. They're two separate questions. They're two separate issues. The bankruptcy court's understanding of its award of $3,750, we submit, was exactly as I've described, actual damages arising from the violation of the discharge injunction. In fact, we moved for an award of litigation attorney's fees and costs following that determination, and the bankruptcy court explicitly declined to address that issue, stating that it was, in its view, well beyond the remand order. Kovacs appealed that. The district court then, in somewhat of a puzzling opinion, declined to apply the law of the case doctrine on the question of actual damages, because the government had never appealed that determination. Twice had never appealed that determination.
Some things fall out of the case at some point because of the statute of limitations. It's just not there anymore. There are issues that are not reached because there's a superseding reason to take actions. I mean, this is like Kovacs 10 at this point. So going through all of these cases takes a little bit of tracing. But once our opinion comes out, before the opinion authored by Judge St. Eves, that's a new start. I mean, it creates the boundaries for what's still on the table about all this stuff.
Well, it creates, yes, it does, but I don't think it erases what has occurred before totally, because the Seventh Circuit the first time didn't reach all the issues that occurred before.
We didn't need to because some of them, because they were time-barred,
right,
were simply not any more to be reached.
Well, yes, but there was also the issue of whether the bankruptcy court erred in its original determination of litigation attorney's fees and costs under Section 7430. That issue was briefed the first time before this court, but the court did not reach it, instead remanding the case for determination of actual damages
on the September letters.
Yes. It's our contention that the law of the case doctrine decides the issue of whether attorney's fees can be an element of actual damages under 7433.
That's a legal issue that this court in any event would review de novo. I don't think there's any law of the case barrier. Wouldn't you agree? Statutory interpretation is normally a legal issue.
Pardon me?
Statutory interpretation is a legal issue.
I think that the law of the case would reach this because...
We never said that these belong under 7433, and we're the only court whose law of the case is in play at this point.
The bankruptcy court said it, and the government
didn't
appeal
it. We're not bound
it.
By what the bankruptcy court said. If it's a legal issue, there's de novo review.
Turning to the second issue, and that is whether COVAX is entitled to litigation attorney's fees and costs for the entirety of the litigation. We believe the answer is yes. COVAX is the prevailing party in this case. This was determined by the bankruptcy court in its first decision and determined again after remand. The government first appealed that and then has abandoned that appeal. Under Section 7430, which is the fee-shifting statute for litigation attorney's fees and costs, COVAX, as the prevailing party, may apply for and we believe is entitled to an award of attorney's fees and costs for the entirety of the litigation. The bankruptcy court in its first decision, September 11, 2007, made a determination of litigation attorney's fees and costs through July 9, 2007. We've taken issue with some of those findings, which is reflected in our brief. We had asked the bankruptcy court upon remand to award attorney's fees and costs under 7430 for the entirety of the litigation. The bankruptcy court declined to do so. So we are renewing our request here. If there's no other questions, I'll reserve a few minutes in rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Frazier. Mr. Sheehan?
May it please the Court, I'm Anthony Sheehan and I represent the United States. I'd like to start by commenting and clearing up some confusion that appears to emerge from the prior Mr. Frazier's argument about what 7430 actually covers. Mr. Frazier argues that 7430 is devoted exclusively to litigation costs. Well, if you look at the text of the statute, 7430A1 talks about reasonable administrative costs incurred with administrative proceedings within the Internal Revenue Service. And what's in a reasonable administrative cost? Well, that's under C2B, which refers to, back up to C1, and includes attorney's fees. So 7430 does cover all attorney's fees, litigation or administration. And indeed, the Treasury regulations, which Mr. Frazier...
What might be an example of an administrative cost?
Well, that would include, for example, the time spent to straighten out. If the IRS made a mistake, the attorney time spent to straighten out the mistake would be included in that.
Is that part of the attorney's fees or part of the administrative? Who does this, the administrative work that raises the cost?
If a taxpayer has a problem with the IRS and hires an attorney to help straighten it out.
Is that an attorney's fees cost or an administrative cost, or they meld into each other?
Well, the attorney's fee is included as an administrative cost. It's in the category.
So it's all under 7430, you're saying?
All under 7430.
Both categories, both administrative and more strictly attorney's fees.
Well, yeah.
Administrative and litigation, both done by an attorney.
Yeah. Any work by an attorney as part of the administration or part of the litigation would be under 7430, because 7430 does cover it. It would also...
Why do they have it listed separately as attorney's fees and administrative costs if the attorney's fees are, in fact, administrative costs?
Well... If you look at it, it's under 7430C.
I don't know why I should ask why tax codes are bewildering. But
one of your colleagues in the Ninth Circuit described it as an annihilated wilderness, a case I handled a few years ago. But, you know, under 7430C, definitions, for purposes of this section, reasonable litigation costs includes court costs and based upon prevailing market rates, expert witness fees, cost of any study or analysis, attorney's fees. I'm paraphrasing quickly here. It's all spelled in rich, greater detail in the code. And then C2, reasonable administrative costs means any administrative fees or similar charges imposed by the Internal Revenue Service and expenses, costs, and fees described in Part 1 above. So it's part of the definition trying to define what costs are recoverable as litigation costs and what costs are recoverable as administrative costs.
So what you're saying, though, I mean, pertinent to here is all of that, according to you, falls under the umbrella of 7430 and does not, therefore, fall under the umbrella of economic damages for 7433.
Right. The Treasury regulations say actual direct economic damages under 7433 do not include attorney's fees, but you can go under 7430. And because 7430 is not a separate cause of action, the way to get it in a case like this one, where the only costs are litigation costs, is exactly the way it happened here. You file suit under 7433, and as part of your relief, you ask for attorney's fees and other costs under 7430.
So what would be, suppose there had been economic damages, what do they look like?
Right.
I think the example was given by the court just before. I've lost a business opportunity. Example which wouldn't be out of bankruptcy if the IRS is supposed to leave someone with the tools of the trade up to a certain amount. So if the IRS went to an auto mechanic shop and took his tools of the trade, the lost business would be an economic damage. If I think there's a case out there which talks, I'm not sure actually, but we're talking about things like that, where you lost a business opportunity, and similar items would be actual direct economic damages. Now, it's not to say that attorney's fees are not recoverable. They certainly are, but you've got to go under 7430 and comply with that, which includes the rate cap.
It includes the rate cap. What about the statute of limitations, the 2 years?
The 2 years, because 7430 does not create a separate cause of action but merely a separate form of relief, it would be the same. The statute of limitations is provided by the cause of action, which is 7433. That's your entree into the system to get to 7430, to get your litigation and your attorney's fees. In terms of law of the case, as the court has already commented, it is a de novo review. I would also like to add that, as we said in our brief, the term damages has been used sort of generically in this litigation. It's really a term of art. And if you look at all the opinions and look through the language to what all the courts actually did, going back to Kovacs 1, going back to the first opinion, you'll see that at all times the courts conducted the correct analysis, analyzed the case under 7430, and imposed the rate cap. So the law of this case, as the law has actually been applied by the courts, is that attorney's fees go under 7430.
And that's just some schedule. I mean, 150 was the appropriate rate for 2003 or whatever.
Right. It's up to 190 now in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, talking about trying to recover all of the litigation costs, my understanding, and I think the bankruptcy court's understanding of this court's mandate, was we've got these two letters. We need to go back and figure out the fees attributable to those two letters. Looking through the billing records, which are in the record, are in the government supplemental appendix, only about 2 hours in September and around that time is actually directly attributable to those letters. The bankruptcy court awarded 25 hours in recognition of there is some general work as part of this entire case that is attributable to them, and we would submit that the bankruptcy court, district court, did a careful analysis of the figures in the record and came up with a reasonable figure that is not an abuse of its discretion. And if there are no further questions, the government will rest on its brief.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Mr. Fraser?
The government is right to an extent, but I think it is confusing a matter that doesn't need to be confused and is actually rather straightforward. Here's what happened. The last time the bankruptcy court had the matter, it titled its order in a way that introduced some confusion and uncertainty. It stated that it was awarding actual damages under 7430. That was the uncertainty. Actual damages is 7433. Litigation attorney's fees and costs is 7430. plainly what the court did upon remand was award actual damages consistent with the billing records, and that was its own understanding. 7433, as Mr. Sheehan correctly points out, covers litigation attorney's fees and costs and also administrative costs, okay?
Which includes attorney's fees.
Which can include attorney's fees.
Go ahead.
Yes. However, that's not what the bankruptcy court did. It didn't award attorney's fees as administrative costs, and it could not have. There was no administrative proceeding. In order to get administrative attorney's fees and costs, you need an administrative proceeding. The Treasury regulation states that an administrative proceeding is a claim for damages under 74 to recover under Section 524 or 362. We didn't have that here. The attorney's fees expended, incurred for dealing with, for responding to violations, had nothing to do with an administrative proceeding. It was just calling up the IRS, interacting with the appeals officer, making sure that the damage was limited and no further damage would occur and that any problems had been resolved. One thing really didn't have to do with the other. The bankruptcy court performed no 7430 analysis upon remand, okay, whether it was under the auspices of administrative proceedings or administrative costs or litigation attorney's fees and costs. That was not, it believed that was not a question of its mandate upon remand, and it conducted no examination, discussion, analysis of either of those. We believe on remand, we believe that this court should remand for that determination, that Kovacs is entitled to an award of actual damages under 7433, and she's entitled to litigation attorney's fees and costs consistent with the rules for awarding attorney's fees under 7430. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fraser. Thank you, Mr. Sheehan. The case is taken under advisement.